afternoon on the East Coast, good morning on the West Coast, and a great day to you wherever and whenever you may be listening. My name is Jason Dias, broadcasting live from the studio of eloquentonline.net in beautiful, sunny New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof, and a long, long walk, but a short flight on the Millennium Falcon up to Charleston, South Carolina, talking Dr. Troy Hall. Hey, Dr. Troy, how are you?
Hey, Jason, how are you doing, man? Today I'm just squeaking in, you know. I didn't even get to the pre-call. I'm calling in while the music is on. This is the way we rock and roll here. Yeah.
Hey, man, when you've been doing it for 7 years, you could basically call in your sleep while eating a Caesar salad and you wouldn't miss a beat, man.
But you know, the
Friday?
One thing is, and just for clarification, it's not like I forgot or anything, but we were dealing with a specific issue, a business issue. And yep. So, you know, sometimes we all, and you know, and I'm so gracious and grateful to you that you are gracious enough to understand that sometimes these little details I have to handle, but you know,
oh,
I'll
know.
Never leave you completely high and dry.
I know. And, South Carolina Federal Credit Union is going to do thousands and thousands of transactions today, putting on their live performance for their audience out there in Charleston and elsewhere. And that's the name of the show, The Power of Performance, the show that asks the question, if your brand were a band, would you leave the audience wanting more? Brought to you by XDI, X-Ray Delta India.com, about a month away from the XDI Chili Challenge. We'll be talking about that as the month goes on. I'm very, very close to making a decision whether I want to head out to California and retrace the steps 30 years ago at the end of July when I got in my 1972 non-air-conditioned Toyota Celica and, like an idiot, drove from San Antonio, Texas to Fort Ord, California, through the desert in Arizona and New Mexico in the heat of the summer. So I'm looking at perhaps doing that. Folks, you might be paying too much for your statement processing and presentment. So check out our buddies at XDI.com, and all the details about the Chili Challenge are there as well. And speaking about leaving your audience wanting more, I know South Carolina Federal is interested in this. I know all brands are interested in how do we intentionally engage the loyalty of a generation that was just born with Wi-Fi, that was just born knowing how to use an iPad. And in part two of our series, and of course you're around these folks a lot, Dr. Troy, but we on my internal podcast for GTE, we interviewed we've been interviewing all the summer interns. And the intern's job is going to the website and making it what she called more millennial-centric. And in the live presentation, she's the community engagement intern. She says, we're getting rid of the PowerPoint and bringing in the Prezi. And so there is a moment of inflection going on right now. They're not Generation Y anymore. Believe it or not, Dr. Troy, I saw a thing the other day, marketing the Gen Y. And I'm like, folks, that is so 10 years ago. But I know you are very, very knowledgeable about this, and I know you're super passionate about learning about this next generation of car and home buyers, because they really do keep the lights on at many credit unions around this country, don't they?
No, they really do. And I think it's important to make sure that we understand that it's still a balance. So
right.
Although this particular generation is, is very powerful in its buying power and what it will be in the way of consuming goods and services, it's still right. I mean, you still have to keep in mind that there is a extra generation bump with the baby boomers. I mean, it's still a dominant group.
Absolutely.
We have not transitioned. The baby boomers have not completely transitioned out of the space and out of the buying space just yet. But so now you've got these two powerful forces working in tandem. And kind of what they do is they almost squeeze out the Gen X group, because the mindset that we find of the baby boomers and the Gen Y group, or that millennial group, are so much alike that we're seeing great – I mean, we're seeing things that could potentially happen. There will be some great things that will happen in this, in our country and in our world. So,
absolutely. Good. Hey, I got two quick shout outs before we go to our guest. Heather Anderson, lately of the CU Times, has co-hosted this show a couple of times. You know, Heather Anderson did a lot of great work over at the CU Times. She's moving on to some new opportunities. And then I want to make a big, big heartfelt shout out to my brother in Christ, my good friend from Cross Lutheran Church and School, Officer Chris Peltier of the New Braunfels Police Department, and his family, Heidi, and his two sons. Just wanted to send out the love and support that you will always have from the good citizens here in New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof. When we get back from the break, one of the sharpest young men that I've had the privilege of getting to know over the years. He is on his way to his sophomore year at the Memorial Early College High School. That's one of these high schools now that gets you an associate's degree even before you walk across the stage and get your high school diploma. We're going to talk to him about what it's like being in that young demographic, his thoughts on things, from everything from technology to politics, because he can cover it all, and we'll do it all right after this.
A lot of credit unions are here, but if you're not here, you're not participating in something that credit unions ought to be here doing. We're raising money for charity, we're having fun, we're spending time together, and we're making some great choices.
Absolutely right. Tough times demand tough talk. That's why we got tough talk. And Dr. Troy, myself, my name is Jason Dias, and our guest joining us from his home here in New Braunfels, Texas, his name is Mr. Andrew Quinn. Hey, Andrew, how are you, buddy?
I am great today, Jason. How are you?
It's so nice to have you on the show. Yeah. All right. I've had the pleasure of knowing you and your family for quite a while, but for people that don't know you, I want to start by asking you, can you recall a time when you just simply didn't have access, I guess what we would call the online world? Do you remember a time when that wasn't part of your culture at home?
Well, personally, I didn't have my own point of access, like my own phone or my own iPad or anything like that, until around fourth or fifth grade. But there's always been a laptop in my house that my dad uses for work, or there's always been somewhere where if I really wanted to, I could connect to the Wi-Fi and I could connect to the outside world. But there was no need for me really until I started fifth or sixth grade.
All right.
And that would make sense, you know, but what's interesting is today now. So I want to just to follow up on this particular thought. Do you see younger folks today, though, with more of those devices than what you had access to at fourth or fifth grade?
Oh, man, absolutely, absolutely.
Yes.
It's crazy because at Cross Lutheran, we started an iPad program where in sixth grade, you get an iPad and it assists you throughout the next 3 years of school. My class was the first sixth grade class to get those iPads. So when I did my 3 years of middle school with that iPad, everything started coming back around and it started getting to younger generations. And now you can't go to a Target without seeing a three-year-old with an iPad in his hand.
Exactly. Exactly. And so just as a reminder, if you don't mind, what year were you in fourth grade?
Oh, man. Well, you're 10 in fourth grade. So
yep.
2010?
2010. So
that sounds about right.
That sounds about right. So when you think about it, around 2000, really the evolution of more of the internet and all of that kind of stuff, you know, really kind of happening, lots
mm-hmm.
going on. So 10 years, it kind of makes sense. And so you see what's transpired today is that the comfort and the ability for people to communicate and to also entertain, because I would suspect that now iPads are replacing TVs, that the iPads for the youngsters are to entertain them, because just as the previous
Absolutely.
Generation would have used
Absolutely.
The TV to entertain
Absolutely.
Them.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, go ahead,
that's
Andrew.
That's exactly right, because so back during Christmas time, I wanted an Apple TV, but then I thought, well, I can just get Netflix on my iPad. So I just have my iPad, and it's the same thing, and it's completely replacing it. I only use my TV primarily for my gaming systems.
Right.
I watch sports, and then I game. that on my TV. That's it. I don't watch the news on TV. I don't really watch episodic television shows on TV. I'm all on my iPad.
Yeah. Yeah, really, really great. So then let me follow up with that then and say, well, then how often do you really go to websites of companies, or do you just do random searches and then go to the sites? So it's kind of a double question. One is more open, the other one's a little closed. So I was kind of determine your habits to how you do that.
It all depends. Like, I'm someone, I read articles a lot. I like knowing things about what's going on. Well, not necessarily the adult world, because I'm part of the world now, but the world around me. And if I read an article, like a Time article, about a certain company using malpractice or something like that, I'll go Google that company. I'll go Google that business type. And I'll learn as much as I can, so if someone ever asks me about it or if it ever comes up, I can say, well, I know a little bit about that. But I don't really find myself going online and Googling furniture stores in Texas. I find what's interesting, and I go off of that, and then I learn more.
Okay, great. And so I also have to ask you, do you use Amazon?
I use Amazon, actually. Last night I used Amazon and I bought phone cases.
Yeah, that's it, exactly. That's right. That's my new – if people want to know, like, where I shop, my if Amazon had a label, people would think that I was a designer, because all they would see is Amazon plastered everywhere. It doesn't even matter. If I have even gone to the original store website, I now purchase some items that we use in our house for the bath shop area. I actually go to now Amazon and buy it. I don't even go to their site anymore and buy it.
No, right. I totally agree.
How convenient is it?
Oh, yeah, super.
Yeah. It is. And I'll tell you, it's become one of my absolute favorite brands. And, you know, it's funny because when it first came out, I don't even remember when they started. It was a bookstore. That's all it was. It was an online bookstore. And now you can, as I've said many times in this show, it has basically become my new Target. I don't have to go to Target anymore because if I need a pair of sunglasses, the last thing I ordered was a spare magazine for my handgun. Now, I couldn't get it on Amazon. I got it on eBay, but it was one of the first things that I bought that did not come from Amazon. Gosh, maybe all summer. Bathing suits, T-shirts, even suits you can now get. And I despise going out in the Texas heat and shopping. And so you're absolutely right, Andrew. It's so convenient.
Yes, Jason Diaz. Hate that heat.
Convenience is a multi-generational brand value, apparently. Now, I did want to ask you this because you just said you bought something last night, phone cases. Do you have your own account for managing your money?
Well, I haven't really earned money in a big amount until this summer. So I'm earning paychecks. I work for John Newcomb Country Club here in New Braunfels, and I'm earning paychecks that way. And I don't have my own bank account, but I have a drawer in my room where I keep all my money. So if that counts as an account, I guess I manage my own money.
A drawer.
So, you know.
True. Right next to the pens, pencils, and my magic 8-ball.
There we go.
I know where you live. So, Dr. Troy, if we need lunch money, I'm going to go sneak into Andrew's room and get his. Okay, Andrew, I got to ask you, if you acquire so much money that you no longer feel it's safe in your drawer, where would you open an account? If someone said to you today, hey, you really need to open up an account, would you just go where your parents are? Is there a bank or a brand that you would want to bank with? If you had to open an account today, where would you go?
I mean, so a few years back, my grandparents went through some tough times. They went in and out of the hospital. They had some medical scares, and their banking stuff went down. They just it all messed up, and my parents got involved, and they attached their bank account to our bank account, and we helped them out. But in the process, it messed up a lot of things. It took things down, so I would have to find, I think, my own –
okay.
Bank account, my own thing, so I can manage my own money.
All right. But good. You don't have a brand in mind right now?
No, not really, because I haven't.
Okay.
I, My dad said once you get sent a credit card from a bank, then you'll start realizing, okay, maybe I need to do this.
All right.
I got it. So that's good. So we should start sending out credit card offers quickly.
Yes, you better get on it.
I better get on it here. So,
go ahead, Dr. Troy.
So, yeah, okay. So one of the other things I wanted to now ask you is, okay, so you have this drawer with your – so all of your financial monies and everything's all in this drawer. So
well,
you've got that idea.
My dad just ordered me a computer offline, so there is $0 in my bank account right
now. Oh, okay.
Now.
Okay. All right, got it.
He ordered it off – I think he ordered it off Amazon, to be honest.
I'm sure.
There we
but
go.
I handed him all my cash, and I'm getting a computer. So right now my bank account balance is zero.
All right. So, and you have shared that you've received some wisdom that's been handed down the line a little bit. So now you have an opportunity. So for your siblings or sibling, what advice would you provide for financial management?
Oh, man, stay open. Stay like I'm different. A lot of teenagers my age don't have a job. A lot of teenagers my age. So I work with two different bands. I work with their local bands here, Cody Canada and the Departed and Tom Gillum and the Cosmic Messengers. And I help run merchandise with them. I do whatever they need at shows. And I'm now working at a country club as a camp counselor. And I do volunteer work at Cross. And wherever you can make money, I've done it. Well, I've tried to, at least, that I've been offered. And I think that's one thing that a lot of people now don't do is they close their options to, I just want to do this. I'm going to just do this. And I think that's a mistake because opening your options to other money-making experiences, you could not really want to be a doctor. But once you see what money a doctor makes, you can start getting more into the practice and more into it. You can say, yeah, I kind of like this. So I think being more open to options and more open to career paths will help you further your ability to earn money.
Great, great advice. Thank you.
It is. So you're basically a free agent. You're out there doing a multiple things. You've got your country club gig, you've got your music gig. And so your advice to Aslan, your sister, would be, hey, look for opportunities wherever you can find them to earn money. Don't just say, hey, I'm only going to work at Schlitterbahn or I'm only going to work at Nukes. Okay, that's cool. Well, that's cool. Now
I'm 15. I don't have to choose a career path yet. Why not find something I like?
That's okay. Well, that's good. That would be good advice too. Now, speaking of, you said you're only 15. So as was the case when we had Kiki on, your first ability to vote will be in the 2020 general election. And so you will either be voting for the next term of it'd be a president we haven't had before, obviously. I mean, Mrs. Clinton or Mr. Trump. But what do you think, just knowing what you know about your generation, what do you think are going to be some of the big issues for your generation in 2020?
Okay, here's a little question. Do you consider me and my sister in fifth grade two different generations?
Ooh, what do you think, Dr. Troy?
No, they're not 20 years apart. So, no, they're in the same generation.
Same generation, yeah. I would put you all in the same generation.
Okay. Well, so one thing that I noticed a few months back, we were at dinner. We were talking about politics at dinner, which should never happen, but it was happening. And me and my dad were talking about how ISIS and ISIL, same thing, they control the oil in the Middle East. And we're talking about the violence and all that. And my sister, who I don't know if we neglected in the conversation or if she got confused by it, she was worried. She expressed a worry of, what's that? What is all that? That scares me. What's going on? And that's the first time I've seen someone younger than me that's not my direct age. When someone says terrorist, they go, whoa, something's wrong. There's not right.
So you think that'll still be an issue in 2020?
Absolutely, 100%. Okay. It's going to take more than 4 years to find a solution and root out the problem.
All right. And what else?
I think healthcare is going to be a really big change because of the way Obamacare shifted the the thought process of the United States from you're going to pay for your health care versus we're just going to give it to you, but wait, it doesn't always work, but we're going to try to get it that way. I think we're still going to be working out the little bugs in it and all that, but I think by 2020, health care is going to establish its place in our society, and I think it's finally going to kind of sit down in a chair rather than saying, hey, I have a problem.
And then one more thing that you think will still be a big issue in 2020.
Cyber safety and cyber banking. I think a lot of it now because, like, my parents have credit cards and my dad can go on his iPhone, check his phone balance and say, okay, I want this money to go here for rent. I want this money to go here for a car note. I think we're going to find a lot more people putting their money in the cyber section rather than keeping it out of it and keeping it in one bank and keeping – they know where their money is. I think that we're going to start going more towards our phones, more towards our electronics, and we're going to find that there's a lot of problems. There's a lot of smart people out there that can take that money real fast just by the click of a few keys that they can steal. So I think the safety part is going to be a huge, huge thing in 2020.
Very interesting. Wow. Folks, you heard it. Convenience and security never goes out of style. His name is Andrew Quinn. He's 15 years old. You would never know it listening to him speak. Andrew, thank you so much for taking some time out of your summer to join us, and I hope to see you very, very soon, buddy.
Thank you very, very much for having me, y'all.
Awesome.
Yeah, thanks.
Andrew Quinn, everybody. Great job. Great job. Yep. Dr. Troy and I will wrap it up right after this. You right off the bat here, Dr. Troy, when you heard him talk about the cybersecurity and stuff like that, obviously he's very right about that. Do we need to do a better job of selling if, like, for instance, South Carolina Federal Credit Union has all the mobile stuff and everything that a young person would want once they get their money out of the sock drawer, wherever Andrew was keeping it,
right,
to manage their money in a mobile way? Do credit unions need to do more of that, reminding folks that, hey, you're dealing with a secure and established brand as much as the social purpose that I often see leading the advertising that's aimed at people in his generation?
Well, I think that there's a yes and no to that. So the idea is that, yes, as an organization, we have to do everything possible, because the number one reason that people deal with financial institutions is because they trust them. However, you put yourself out in a very big way. You put yourself out for potential, criticism and potential problems if you tout your security, and then there is an issue that's even not your fault, but you're sometimes connected to it. So, for instance, our consumers have a hard time figuring out we weren't the problem of the Target breach.
Right.
Because it was our card that had to be reissued. So, obviously, we could not control their information. No, that wasn't us. But we get saddled with that from the experience. So if we were to go out and to say, hey, our stuff is secure, and somebody out there does something, or our consumer gets lazy with their protection, then they automatically want to come back to us, because, trust me, the air of accountability is not for the individual. It's for somebody else.
Right.
So the individual today sees the responsibility being, well, you should have told me. And we know that, because why do we see so much legislation today? Why do we see that? Because our legislators believe that that's what the constituents want. Because the constituent says, well, you should have told me. That's why we do that privacy announcement. You should have told me that you give your information to a third party. You should have told me that you're going to charge me this fee for this kind of thing. You should have told me that if you bounce a check, you're going to get charged some money. Well, I mean, okay, Yeah. So all of that is all coming out of it. So I think it's dangerous for the organization to really position itself from security. What you can talk about is that we offer safe and secure solutions, but it's not a headline. Because if it's a headline, it becomes LifeLock, and we all know what happened there.
Right, exactly. Well,
this is the guy who put his social security number out there and says, hey,
and
you want to try to hack me, hack me. And guess what? Surprise, you got hacked. Yeah.
I do remember that. Hey, folks. Very, very interesting. I've always enjoyed visiting with these young people. I totally agree with him, by the way. It is very rare now to not see very young children, I mean 2-3 years old, you know, manipulating their parents' phone or an iPad, like you said, in the shopping cart at Target or the grocery store or in, you know, the car or whatever. So it is a fascinating thing, and I do enjoy talking to these young people. They always manage to say something I'm not expecting. I thought for sure Andrew already had his account and a broker and everything else, and to find that he's putting his money. So I'll send you his address, Dr. Troy, and you guys in South Carolina can send out a credit card to him, because I do, by the way, think he's going to be a very, very successful guy when he gets to where he's going. Again, thank you so much. I can't believe it's July already, Dr. Troy, but we're going to continue our sizzling summer series of great, great radio. And as always, always enjoy having you with me on the show, and look forward to seeing what we talk about next week.
Absolutely. You have a great one.
Awesome. You too. Hey, everybody, that's Dr. Troy Hall from the beautiful city of Charleston, South Carolina. My name is Jason Dias, signing off from the beautiful city of New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof. You've been listening to The Power of Performance, the show that asks the question, if your brand were a band, would you leave the audience wanting more? Until next we speak, we'll talk to you all next week. Bye.
The end of the MFR, folks.